Well, Sean, we're almost back, but I guess we're back. It's been a minute or a month, as the kids like to say, a minute since we last had a podcast. And here we go, man. It's after Labor Day and it's time to get rolling again. You feel that too? You're feeling the energy as we're less than 2 weeks away here from camp and just under a month from the Global Series kicking off the regular season.
Well, Dan, I've missed you.
And then you didn't insult me in the first thing that you said, so I really appreciate that as well.
Turning over a new leaf. They tell me that September is the new January, and that's when you're supposed to make your resolutions to get a head start on the new year. So you're already 3 months in by the time January 1st. So we'll see how long this resolution lasts. I'm a little sad I can't wear white anymore because yes, you know how fashionable I am.
You're a fashionista, definitely.
Yeah. You know. And rookie camps are a week away.
Yeah.
Not 2 weeks away, a week away. And back in the day when I was a young whippersnapper, before the internet, probably, they didn't have rookie camps, but they had rookie games. And the rookie games were awesome because they were just complete mayhem. A bunch of young kids trying to make the team. It wasn't like it is now where rosters are pretty much set and guys come in and they know their roles. There was always a guy that could make the team by making a big impression. And it was always bus trips, right? It was the Rangers versus the Devils, Rangers versus the Flyers, rivalries that carried over, and rookies accepted it before they even played the other team. They hated them, and it was awesome. I miss that.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna get that anymore. You know, it's just not that way.
Now it's
an
organized camp, and it's great. Look, I've been to Traverse City a number of times, and you know the players that you see and how polished they are. You know, when they show up, and now so many teams are doing it. There's the Traverse City one. There's one in Florida. There's one in San Jose. Buffalo is going to have the number one pick and the number two pick playing each other. Carolina's having a tournament. So it's great. It starts that hockey fix. Like I said, next week, it's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, it does. I don't get all jazzed up for rookie camps. I get more jazzed up for obviously the regular training camps, but I do feel it once Labor Day passes, I start to feel like, okay, we're now in the season. Like it's right there for us now. And look, I mean, I was able to go to, I mean, I had the trip of a lifetime. I went to Paris to talk to hockey players, right? It was, and brought my wife, and it was incredible. And I was able to sit down. You're going to hear two of those interviews in this podcast. The first one with Jacob Markstrom, the Calgary Flames goalie, and the second one with Victor Hedman, Tampa Bay Lightning defenseman. The Markstrom one, let's start there, because Sean, there's two teams that this offseason have probably been the most intriguing, maybe in the league, and that's Calgary, and the other one is Ottawa. We'll talk about Ottawa a little bit later, but Calgary, without question, and that Pacific Division, without question, have been remarkably interesting. Calgary obviously makes the blockbuster trade. Matthew Tkachuk goes to Florida, and they bring back Jonathan Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar. They lose Johnny Gaudreau in free agency to Columbus, but they're able to sign Nazem Kadri. And in the interview with Markstrom, and you'll hear that soon, he says he thinks the Flames are better. And so I will credit him for saying that and ask you that question. Are the Flames, on paper, because we don't know yet, are they better with Weegar, Huberdeau, and Kadri than they were last year? Remember, first place team, 111 points, lost in the Battle of Alberta. The goalie that we talked to kind of melted down a little bit, and we discussed that in the interview too. Are they better than they were with 200-point scorers and Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk?
I believe that Markstrom believes they're better, and I believe he has to. I'm not convinced of that yet. I don't even think it's the points. I think it's the mindset, right? Like, to me, Tkachuk made that team. Like, he was the guy who brought them into the battle. And when things got emotional and when things got heated, Battle of Alberta, playoffs, whatever it was, he was always the guy that was at the forefront. I love Jonathan Huberdeau. I think he's one of the most skilled players in the league. I don't know how many times the Florida Panthers were involved in that kind of action. And when they were, I don't know how many times Jonathan Huberdeau was leading the fray, so to speak. Matthew will always put his nose where it doesn't belong. And he will demand of his teammates that they do the same thing. And I think that's really important when you hit the skids when you're in the dog days of February, and especially when you get to the playoffs. So I'm more interested not in the skill transition, but in the psychological transition of the Calgary Flames.
And I hear that and I get it, but I'm going to say they are better. And it's a strict math for me, right? Well, it's not just strict math, but part of it is they now have three impact players that they didn't have last year, right? In Huberdeau, Kadri, and Uyghur. That is a first line left wing, probably your second line center, and a top 4D. They do not have two impact players from last year in Gaudreau at 115 points, same as Huberdeau, and also doesn't jump into the fray either. He's more on the skill side, obviously. And Tkachuk, who had 104 points. Kadri jumps into it. We know that. He's got a history of it. It's written down. Department of Player Safety will tell you all about it. But he jumps into it, and he had 87 points last year. Yeah, sure, he had 87 points on a Stanley Cup champion team last year, playing the same role he will play in Calgary. He did not play with Nathan MacKinnon or Mikko Rantanen all the time or Gabriel Landeskog last year. And he's probably not going to play with Jonathan Huberdeau this season. That will likely be Elias Lindholm, who had a great season last year. You're talking about three impact players in, two impact players out. And one of those impact players in is a center. We talk about how strong you need to be down the middle. The Flames, for as good as they were last year, they didn't have a productive number two center. Michael Backlund was their number two center. He had 39 points, right? 12 goals. Kadri's got to get more than that. And one of those players in is a top four defenseman, which you can't win without a good top four, right? And Uyghur is exactly that, a good top four defenseman. So I look at Calgary and I say to myself, they are on paper better because they have more impact players than they did last year.
That's fair. I would just argue that, much like you would in a trade, because you're doing two for three, that Calgary lost the two best players out of the five. And I don't know how you win a trade when you lose the two best players. And that's not a reflection on Huberdeau, who I think is a great player. It's not a reflection on Kadri, who's a Stanley Cup winner now. And it's not a reflection on Uyghur, who I bet the Calgary Flames hope is Mackenzie Uyghur from the first 3 months of last season and not Mackenzie Uyghur from the playoffs of last season.
Correct. Yeah.
So there's that to be said as well. And I really like Mackenzie Uyghur, and I think they're going to get the first 3 months of the season Mackenzie Uyghur and not the player who struggled in the playoffs. I don't think we're insulting anybody by saying that Mackenzie Uyghur struggled in the playoffs. He did, and he had a lot of company, and that's why the President's Trophy winning team was out in the second round. But I think they lost. I think Calgary lost the best two players. I think Brad Treleaven did a really nice job in stopping the bleeding and putting some patches on and sending the patient off for further surgery, but he didn't fix them yet. I don't think they're not going to be the same team that they were.
Well, see, I think they lost the best player in the trade, and that was, you know, of the, you know, the five players we're talking about here, I think they lost the best one in Tkachuk. I think he's the best player of the five we're talking about here. I actually think Huberdeau and Gaudreau are a wash. I don't think Gaudreau is a better player than Huberdeau. I don't know that Huberdeau is a better player than Gaudreau. Huberdeau's got more size on him, you know, and he can maybe help a little bit. But obviously, Johnny Gaudreau's hands are among the best in the league, if not the best in the league, right? So you have that too. I think it's a bit of a wash. And their production, obviously, last year is a wash because they each had 115 points. So Tkachuk is a huge loss. And that, like, to bring back to your point, that's where the Flames are going to have to make it up. They need, who is going to be the guy that, you know, has that type of snarl and will go into the room and rough things up with guys and get right in faces if need be. I'm not saying they don't have that guy. I mean, I think Kadri now as a Stanley Cup champion has more respect around the league probably and respect within the room. Let's not discount also the Blake Coleman is that type of, I think can be that type of guy too. And he's right in the mix there in Calgary and now settled in after a year there. I think Brad Treleaven did a terrific job. And I think that Jacob Markstrom's point is well taken, that they very well could be a better team than they were this past season. And the other thing about it too, as we, you know, kind of tease the interview that we'll play here shortly with Markstrom, is you're going to have a goalie who is coming off being the runner up for the Vezina Trophy last year with a very unsettling finish to the season. He allowed 24 goals in that series against Edmonton. It was wild. Obviously the Battle of Alberta was crazy. That doesn't sit well with him either. And he's going to be hungry because of that as well too. So you're also coming back with a guy who now is 32 years old and has proven himself to be a top five goalie in the league.
And look, they're going to have to be better because Edmonton's better.
Yeah.
Edmonton made themselves better by going and getting Jack Campbell. Edmonton put that series on a platter for the Flames. Said, here, take it. We're going to give you a goal, at least one goal every game that you don't deserve. So in the playoffs, I think any team would walk into a series and say, well, the other team's going to give us one goal every game we don't deserve. Well, let's book our travel to the next round. And the fact that Calgary couldn't do that and couldn't finally crack Mike Smith is troubling to me, right? So they're going to have to be better. The goalie's going to have to be better, Markstrom. And because I think Edmonton's going to be better. I don't know about Vegas, and I don't know about the teams behind them who are getting better, like the Kings, but I don't know that there's a jump being made there. I think it's a two-team race between Edmonton and Calgary, and maybe Vegas if everything breaks right. But, you know, injuries have already crept up again. They're going to go into the season with Logan Thompson as their number one goalie. I love Logan Thompson. I think his story is unbelievable as a goalie nerd. Like, that's what you dream about, right? You kind of spend your whole career grinding away, and then all of a sudden somebody says, well, here's your chance, and you take it and you run with it. And he did, but I don't know that he's a 55-60 game number one, and there's nothing behind him. So there's problems there, and Vegas has already said they're not going to go into the market to fix it. They believe that Logan Thompson can be a number one, and maybe he can, but you know, we're talking about Vegas, the betting capital of the world. Are you betting on a Vegas team with Logan Thompson as a number one goalie to win the division or be competitive for the division?
It's funny, right? We talked about this the last time we talked, a little over a month ago, when we were doing like our summer podcast, and we talked about Vegas, and I said I think they're a playoff team, and I think you were the one that said no. You know, that you couldn't sell, you couldn't buy that yet, right? You weren't making that bet yet if we're going to talk in Vegas terms, right? But a big part of why I said yes was because I thought Robin Lehner was going to be a big impact player. And I thought he was coming back strong, that there was a rift between he and Pete DeBoer. That's gone. You look at Bruce Cassidy, their new coach, all he's had is good relationships with his goaltenders, right? I mean, in Boston, they had Tuukka Rask. And when Tuukka was gone, I mean, Jeremy Swayman stepped up, and it was a good relationship all across the board. And I thought, here we go. Vegas is going to have a good season from Robin Lehner, and this is going to be the difference in them getting back into the playoffs, because in the other areas, they're strong. Depth-wise, maybe they don't have that much of it, but they have high-end talent. I don't think that anymore. I mean, I can't say that they're going to be in. I can't say they're a playoff team, not with Logan Thompson and Aiden Hill. I can't do it. Maybe Logan Thompson could have a strong season, but I'm not making that bet right now. And I don't think that they are. So I'm going to go back on what I said a month ago and say, no, you know, change my opinion, just simply because of that injury. Like, that was an impact player that is no longer an impact player for them. Ken will not be there. So that has to change my opinion on that.
You're supposed to look into your crystal ball before you said anything.
You see injuries? If yes. You see injuries, we're going to get together after this podcast. We're laying down a lot of bets, okay?
Seriously, what did I say? What did I say last month? You probably don't remember because you don't listen to me when I talk, but I did say about Vegas, how can you discount injuries? Like, how your argument was, in a perfect world, they were going to have Robin Lehner, they were going to have Stone, they were going to have this guy, they were going to have that guy, and there were going to be no injuries. And they were coming off a year when they were just decimated by injuries, and there is not a single team in the league that goes through a season uninjured. And there's not a single team in the league that goes through a season without a key player being injured for a significant period of time. And if they are, then they've made a deal with the devil, and you should celebrate it. But it's not something that happens on a regular basis, and you have to account for that. And to me, the Vegas Golden Knights are not deep enough to survive injuries. And that's proven in the goaltending. I mean, almost every team in this league has three goalies now. Right? Like, it's just what it has to be. It's proven over the last couple of years, between condensed schedules, workload, the fact that nobody plays 60 games anymore, except for an elite few like Saros and Vasilevsky and a couple of guys like that. Most teams have to go three deep. Even healthy, it was hard to argue that the Vegas Golden Knights went too deep.
Well, yeah. But I mean, we're talking about their number one goaltender is not out. So I didn't account for that, right? I understand that there's accounting for some injuries here and there for a team, but I didn't account for their number one goalie for being out for the season before training camps, even before September even rolled around, right? I mean,
but he was hurt.
You're going to tell me Jacob Markstrom is not going to play for Calgary. I'm not picking them to go very far either, right? I mean, you think Igor Shesterkin, oh, he'll be out for the whole season. Well, okay, the Rangers are done. You know, like, I mean, it's.
But Lehner was hurt.
I understand. And he has a history.
He wasn't healthy.
And he has a history of it. I understand. I do get that point. But I wasn't accounting for him being out. And look, if you wanted to say three deep and you had Lehner healthy, Logan Thompson, and they just acquired Aiden Hill, or they had Laurent Boisson, like, you know, okay, maybe they go 3D, but when you're taking out your number one and you're putting in a guy who's never been a number one, well, that changes the opinion on a lot of things. But look, the other thing, Sean, you brought up was Edmonton. So yeah, I agree with you. It's a two-team race, like, for first place right now, as we talk here on September 8th, right? It's Calgary and Edmonton. And I know we've got predictions coming up here soon. You know, on NHL.com, we'll be making predictions. We'll be making them here on the podcast as well. And so I started thinking about it. I got asked the question in my mailbag this week, are the Avalanche going to repeat? And I couldn't say yes, just because it's really hard to repeat. And they're not the same team as they were, you know, a year ago. Are they really good? Yeah. Do they have a shot? Absolutely. But I couldn't say yes. And so I'm thinking, all right, if I'm not picking Colorado, where am I going? And I haven't landed on it fully yet, but I keep coming back to Edmonton. You know, I keep coming back to that time is now. Talk to Leon Draisaitl in Paris. He said it. Our time is now. What were they lacking last year? Goaltending and experience. They got goaltending. They got experience. You got to learn how to lose before you learn how to win. You learn from losing, right? All of those things. Kind of think that it might be their time, but I'm not like rubber stamping it yet as my prediction, but that could be the direction I'm going in.
The Edmonton Oilers remind me of the San Jose Sharks of,
well, they never won.
I know.
So it's a bad prediction.
But that's who they remind me of. They remind me of the San Jose Sharks of what, 8 years ago?
Yeah.
Right. There was a time for 3 or 4 years, I picked them to go to the cup final every year and they didn't make it. And then the 1 year I got off their bandwagon, they went and they lost to Pittsburgh. But like, that's the team they remind me of. They're really good. They have some really, really, really nice pieces. They're not a championship team. Like, they're not deep enough. Again, like, top six. Yeah. If you're playing a top six tournament, they're the best team in the league. No question. But how many times have we seen in the playoffs that it's not a top six league? That once you can cancel out stars, which Colorado can do, they can cancel out Edmonton stars, then it becomes a bottom six equation. Do you like Edmonton's bottom six? I don't. Do you like Edmonton's bottom 3D? I don't. Do you believe that Jack Campbell is a top six goalie in the league? I don't. What do you do?
Who's ruminating in your mind right now?
Whew, I haven't even thought about it.
Nonsense. Yes, you
No, I haven't. I need more information. I need to look at my crystal ball.
Think about it now.
I need to look at my crystal ball. I don't know. I like Nashville. If we're going to take Colorado out of the equation, maybe it's Nashville that comes out. But again, to me, they're a little like that San Jose team. Like, I'm always, I love Nashville. They're awesome. They're great. They're fantastic. And then something happens and they're not quite good enough. They've had that one final and they lost to Pittsburgh. I just don't know if it's Edmonton. It might be Colorado again. It remains to be seen. They have some questions that, like every other team, they've lost some depth. But Tampa Bay has shown that there's a blueprint to get over losing depth. And I wonder if Colorado's found it. And I'm not in love with their goaltending, but I'm not in love with a lot of goaltending in the West. Mm-hmm. I think the playoffs next year are going to look a little like they did this year, with a lot of goals being scored. Here's my dark horse, St. Louis.
one more run, maybe one more run. Yeah, that'll be interesting. We'll get there eventually. And, you know, we're not ready yet on September 8th to make these full predictions, but you kind of get a hint of where I'm leaning, at least, and maybe a little bit where Sean's leaning, though he mentioned about seven different teams. So we'll see. One of those teams could be Calgary. And as I mentioned at the top, and we had a discussion on Calgary, I was able to catch up with Jacob Markstrom in Paris at the NHL's European Player Media Tour. And let's play that interview. So here it is with Jacob Markstrom. Summer, how's it been for you so far? You know, I mean, you're right around the corner, training camps. Here we go again. But have you had a good summer?
Yeah, summer has been good, but you know, like you said, it's closing in here, and I'm excited to get back to Calgary and get back to seeing old teammates and new teammates and get back on track here.
New teammates for sure, right? Yeah. I mean, some changes there. As the Flames have gone through some of these changes, Johnny leaving, Tkachuk leaving, bringing in Huberdeau, who you know well, and we'll get to that, and now just recently signing Nazem Kadri. What's it been like for you, like in the emotional ups and downs of this as a guy who's, you know, you're set there, you're ready to win there, and now you're seeing these changes going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think Brad Tree Living have done an unbelievable job to see a 200-plus point, I don't know, last time that happened, two players with over 100 points leave an organization. And I think for Brad to have the season start after that to happen with you know, what I think a better team than we had before. So you know, it's an unbelievable job by the whole front office and everybody working on that. So makes you know, us as players really excited to come back and get back into it.
I think Johnny had 115 points, and I think Huberto had the same. I think Tkachuk had 104, and I think Kadri had 87. So you're dropping like 17 points.
Yeah,
like,
and then we got Uyghur too.
And you got Uyghur out of that mix too. So you got another, you know, top 4D as
yeah,
well. So.
Yeah.
But you said, I mean, it's rare where you can lose players who are as good as Gaudreau and as good as Tkachuk, and you come back with the feeling of you're better.
Yeah.
Why? Like, why do you feel that way? Is it the players that you've brought in? Is it the experience of the team plus the players you've brought in? What is the feeling? Like, why do you feel like you're better?
I mean, obviously the feeling is because, you know, those guys that are there, they, you know, you have both Huberto and Kadri signed long-term deals. So, you know, they want to be there. And I think, you know, that means a lot for anyone. Either if you're a hockey player or if you do something else, if you're at a place where you want to be, even if you know, I'm here now, it's good. You know, it is what it is. But if you have a guy who really want to be there, it's gonna be, I think, add a few extra percentages with everything. So, with that being said, it's, you know, obviously it's sad to have two teammates I have for the past 2 years that I got along with well. I, you know, wish them luck on you know, almost every game this season, except when they play us. But I'm super excited to get back with the Flames and with the season to start again.
And you know Jonathan Huberto, you kind of grew up with him a little bit in the Florida system. You played with him there. Have you talked to him since he's been acquired in Calgary and signed? Have you spoken to him?
Yeah, I texted him right away after it happened, and you know, I think a few days later he got back to me. I think it was obviously, you know, surprising for him. He didn't expect to get traded, and you know, I know how it is to be traded, but not to that extent where he's, you know, one of the top players in the league and being traded without knowing he was going to be traded. So but I just talked to him a little bit about Calgary, about the team, about the city, and you know, all the guys on the team that, you know, we have a great group of guys, and he's going to fit right in, and just trying to make him feel a little bit better than, you know, ease his mind a little bit. And, you know, obviously he signed a contract short after, so, you know, no one is happier than me about that.
How much different is Jonathan Huberto now, having spoken to him and known him now, versus when you first met him and when he was a younger guy just coming up?
Like, yeah, he's an old man now.
He's an old, he's say. An old, no, but 28, 29?
Yeah, but he's always, he grown into, you know, his body, and he matured, and, you know, same with me too. I was in my low 20s, you know, last time I spent time with him and was his teammate, so... I think we both grew into our position as NHL players, and, you know, him being one of the best in the world it's great to have him back as a teammate. But you know, obviously, you know, he looked bigger, he's thicker, he's stronger, yeah. And you know, I think that was the biggest thing that I noticed. But you know, as a guy, he's an unbelievable guy, great teammate, and you know, I'm excited to share locker room with him again.
You mentioned it too. You're talking about him, but you too have grown into who you are as an NHL player, as an NHL goalie now. And it was a process for you to growing through those, you know, getting through those growing pains as a goaltender in Florida and establishing yourself in Vancouver and now, you know, taking your game into Calgary. How did you do it? Like, what was the mindset? Describe how you had to be in order to get to where you are now, because it was not an easy path.
No, not for sure. But looking back to it now, it's so much experience. But I think the most important thing for me was my stubbornness, I would say, and you know, the self-belief I had in myself. But there was times, you know, throughout the first few years when, you know, I was in the minors and then played some games in Florida. I felt like I could play, but I wasn't. I didn't know what how much work you really have to put in to be a consistent player in the NHL. And you know, I was young and you know, made decision not solely on being professional hockey player. It was more about just, you know, I'm here now, it's okay.
Yeah.
everything is gonna happen. But you know, instead of waiting for everything's gonna happen, you realize quite quickly that you get left behind and the train is going to leave the station if you don't get on it, and you got to make it happen, and you got to earn it, and you got to deserve it. So you know, it took longer than obviously I wanted as well. And there was time, you know, I got traded to Vancouver from Florida, and they signed Ryan Miller the next year. I was in Utica, and you know, that was one time it was kind of you know, do or die. I was you know, it's you look at yourself, because then, you know, I was 24 or something, maybe 25, and you know, been there for 5 years in North America and having established myself as an NHL goalie. So but going to Vancouver was a key turning point for me. With you know, you got the Twins, Edler, Louis Erickson came there. Mm-hmm. They really showed me what it takes to be a high level NHL player.
Do you now tell players, like, can your story help younger players on your team?
I mean, I always try. I feel like I was,
especially younger goalies.
Yes, yeah. I was so taken care of, and I appreciate it, and I know how much it meant to somebody young who hasn't really established himself to feel like, yeah, you know, they have somebody who's been part of it. But you know, I look at me and Dan Vladar's situation. He reminds me so much of myself when I was younger. Both, you know, how we play goalie and the size, and how he's this person too, very happy, very outgoing. And you know, I try to tell him everything I can to help him, because I know he's going to be a really good goalie in the future. And it takes time, and you know, some people longer and some people shorter.
It takes self-belief too, because you're telling him and you're probably thinking to yourself, well, he's going to go take somebody's job. He ain't taking mine though.
Yeah, for sure. It's a healthy competition, but you need that, I think. Yeah. I mean, you know, for us last year too, he had a big part in our success. You know, I played obviously majority of the games, but whenever he came in, you know, he posted a shutout in his third NHL game, and then he had another shutout, you know, 2 weeks later. And I think that gave, you know, the players out there confident too. And he's such, everybody loves him. He's such a good guy and good energy. And you know, I know how it is to not play a lot of games and sit behind. It's easy to be, you know, not sad, but a little bit more quiet, because you feel like you don't, you know, given much to the team. But you know, he's very similar to how I was, and you know how important it is to push everyone, even if you're not playing.
Last season was, overall it was a great season for you. It was a great season for the Flames, but it didn't end that way. And I'm curious, how long did that carry with you? Is it still carrying with you, the ending to last season? And it, you know, how does it, what does it do for you now?
Oh, it's inspiring me.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, that's, that being said, it's, it was a good season, but it's a bad season pretty much. You know, when you talk about last season and people, you know, when you go back to Sweden, people want to talk about the season, they, you know, they don't ask about the game 50. in the Escobar game, you know, 100
right.
against Edmonton. So, you know, for sure that carries with me a lot. And but, you know, you got to know where the part where it's, you know, you realize it's done, it's over with, but, you know, I feel like I'll bring it with me and make sure that, you know, you don't want that to happen again.
Results aside, take me into what it was like being front and center in that playoff series, in that Battle of Alberta.
Awesome. I think both cities, you know, obviously in the province was, the whole province was, you know, it was buzzing and it was, you know, I'm not a huge social media guy and don't, you know, I watch Swedish TV shows. So I don't really notice much, but you know, everywhere you go, there were flame flags in every car windows, flame stickers, the fans were crazy. You had a red lot, you had the sea of red in the arena. It was awesome. I mean, it was unbelievable. And, I feel like the toughest part was, you know, you felt like you let those, you know, the city and the Flames fans down because we had something really good going. And, you know, I know they wanted more. We wanted more as well. Mm. So, you know, the first reaction, I think, was, you know, you let those guys down and you don't want to have that feeling again. And, but, you know, the support we have from the fans in the city is fantastic.
All right. So there was Jacob Markstrom. And Sean, at the top, I mentioned the other really intriguing team to me this offseason and to a lot of people is the Ottawa Senators, right? And just, in fact, just yesterday, right? We're recording this on Thursday. Just on Wednesday, they dropped the news that Tim Stützle has signed an 8-year contract, right? So he's in for 9 now. He's got one more year on his entry-level deal and he's got an 8-year deal. And they signed Josh Norris to an 8-year deal. They still have Thomas Chabot and Drake Batherson, you know, signed long-term. They acquired Alex DeBrincat. They signed Claude Giroux. This team is building up to be something special, I think. You know, and I don't want to jump the gun, right? I mean, you're still talking, you know, younger players who have to grow and develop and you know, go through some hardships and deal with it and whatnot. And are they a playoff team? I mean, they're closer now than they were, but I don't know if I'm 100% ready to say that they are a playoff team. But arguably, no team has had a better offseason than the Ottawa Senators. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that, but I don't know if I'd agree that they're 27 points better.
Right. And that's my point. Like, they're not there yet, but they are way closer than I think we all thought they would be at this point.
You know what I want to know, though, Dan? I want to know what happened to the bridge deal.
Gone. It's gone. If you're a high draft pick and you have play out your entry level deal and you're in your entry and you play at least 2 seasons, if not more, of your entry level deal, and you become an impact player, like Tim Stützle is a 58 points or something like that last year in that neighborhood. He had a 50 some odd points last year. The bridge deal's gone. Like, teams want to lock these guys up long term because they see them as the future, the big, big part of the future. And maybe by giving him an 8-year deal now, by the way, he signed for 9 seasons, right? Because he's got one more year on his entry level deal. Giving him the 8-year deal now, they're thinking, well, by the time he's 23 or 24, that cap hit is going to look pretty good, right? 8.35 for Stützle. The cap's going to go up. We know that, right? It's not going to stay a flat cap. It's going up. Tim Stützle becomes an 80 to 85 point player, which I don't think is out of the question for him. You know, well, 8.35 and your cap is up from where it was now. That looks pretty good when he's 23, 24 years old. And you got him still for another 4 or 5 years at that number. That's why they do it. The bridge deal is pretty much gone. And I don't know that players want the bridge deal, to be honest with you. Like, I think players want to know where they're going to be too.
Yeah, no, I would want to know as a player where I was going to be and to be able to settle in and commit to something. I just look, you like you're really optimistic about Ottawa, and you should be, and God bless the fans in Ottawa, because they have something to be excited about. And, you know, the Battle of Ontario is going to be fantastic now, and there's going to be players that are going to buy into it for a lot of years and really develop that institutional knowledge that makes rivalry so good. And they're going to be better, and they're going to be competitive. But, like, you look at that team, and so that their core five are all signed to at least 6-year deals, right? For decent money.
Yeah, I'm an idiot, by the way. I didn't even mention Brady Tkachuk at the top. I said Nara, Stutzla, Shabbat, Batherson. Tkachuk's the best of the five.
Well, Dan, I made my September resolution.
Yeah. No, you don't have to do
it. So I didn't call you out on it.
No, you didn't call me out on it. I'm the one that called myself out on it. Yeah. You know? So, but you did bring up the five, and I'm thinking to myself, I only mentioned four. So, all right, there it is.
It was a subtle passive aggressive dig. That's allowed under my new resolution.
That's allowed.
but what if they miss? What if this is the best of Tim Stützle? What if this is the best of Batherson? Like, now they're serviceable players who you're paying way too much money in the prime of their careers. And if you miss more than once, you're in trouble. And I understand there's 2 and 3 years of empirical evidence and eye test evidence. And of course, these players are going to get better. This league is littered with players that reach their ceiling, right? And never got any better and are making way too much money. And then all of a sudden, even if the other guys hit, you're stuck with a huge cap hit, and it's going to cost you 2 to 3 veterans when your window opens wide and you're like, okay, now I got all these young kids. They're really good. I need to go bring in a Jonathan Toews at the end of his career, just as an example, or I need to go bring in this guy, or I need to go bring in, you know, the Mike Sillingers of the world to round out my team and make it ready to really make a deep run. Oh, wait, I can't. I got all this money tied up on these players that aren't as good as I thought they were. And now here we are. So to me, that to a GM, that's where the bridge deal still is. Like, it's the show me deal. Yeah, you're good, but how good are you? Like, Kirby Dach signed his bridge deal because he hasn't proven it yet.
Well,
it's one of the hammers that a GM has. They give it up.
Look, I get exactly what you're saying, but the bridge deal to me now is reserved for the players who have, like you said, haven't proven it, have shown a few flashes, but haven't really even come close to reaching what the potential is for them. Kirby Dach is that guy. Kaapo Kakko is that player, right? I mean, not even close to him. They didn't miss on Brady Tkachuk. If Brady Tkachuk remains the same player he is now, he's a 30 to 35 goal scorer, a 70 point player, and he is snarly and in your face all the time, and your captain and your leader, they miss on him. If Josh Norris stays exactly where he is, he's a 35 goal scorer, 7.95 per. They didn't miss on him, right? Thomas Chabot has proven it enough that they didn't miss on him. Right? He is a top pair defenseman. He's a number one defenseman for them. Batherson, I think, has more to prove. And obviously Stützle has more to prove, right? There's no question about it. But they have seen a lot. And listening to Pierre Dorion, Stützle's agent was saying, and Stützle, I talked to him in Paris as well. And he was saying it too. Like, he's all in. Like, he wants to be there. He's there. He's bought in and wants to be a part of this in Ottawa for a long time. If you got guys coming at you saying, this is what I want. I feel this. This is it. This is me. Like, I'm ready to do it. You take that gamble when you're this type of player. So I don't think it's that big of a gamble. I don't. Like, I get what you're saying, but to me, 3 of the 5 they didn't miss on. We know that already. There's enough evidence to suggest that the other two are going to live up to it as well. And Batherson, by the way, is under $5 million. None of these guys are over $9 million. None of them. Like, when Stützle's contract kicks in, it's $8.35 million. That's the highest that the Senators are going to have. And you look around the league, there's teams that have two guys at 10, some guys at 11, right? Ottawa's not going to have that guy. To me, when the cap goes up, they still have room for that guy. Like, they still have room for the 27-year-old proven guy who becomes a free agent and says, that's the guy that gets us over the hump, right? They're still going to have room for that guy with all of these contracts that they have. And now also they have stable goaltending with Cam Talbot too. Look, he's not an all world goalie or anything, but he's good. He's been in the league a while. He's good. Him and Anton Forsberg can be stabilized that goaltending for a while. They don't have to make the playoffs this year, but they got to come close. They got to be way better than 27 points out. And I think they will be. They're coming in that division. Detroit's coming in that division. Buffalo's coming in that division. You see it in Buffalo now, right? I mean, they've got a core. It's young, but we're you're starting to see the development of that core. They're coming in that division. Boston's going, right? I mean, there's an opening there eventually here. The Bruins, maybe one last run here with the group they got. I don't know. You know, they're kind of going. Where's Toronto going, right? Where are they going right now? I don't know. Are they any better than they were last year? Good team, but can't ever get over the hump. And are they any better? I don't know. Tampa's still there. Florida's better, I think. But there's room there for growth in that division. Does it mean Ottawa gets in the playoffs? I don't know, but they're going to have some serious growth.
Yeah, and they need to. They need to pay off on this enthusiasm now. They can't go out and be non-competitive again.
They have to, yeah.
Right? And
especially in that market, Sean.
Yeah, and you mentioned Cam Talbot. Like, he's not the answer. Like, when these guys get good, this core five you're talking about, Cam Talbot's going to be 37, 38 years old. Like, that's another thing you're going to have to fix when that window starts to open. I don't know that you look at a 37, 38-year-old Cam Talbot and say, that's my answer. Like, no, so
he's got 1 year left too on his deal. I mean, that just helps stabilize where they are. You know, their goaltending is better now. It'll put them closer. They obviously, I mean, look, they have holes. They got to see Jake Sanderson's a guy he's got to show some growth, you know, and be a part of it, make it a core six, right?
Yeah. I mean, Shane Pinto and
look,
they're going to be really young, but how many teams in this league have we drooled over their prospects and they never transitioned because they got the living hell beat out of them and they lost their confidence and they couldn't do anything. So they need to be better. They're going to need to add to this team to get them over the hump. I don't know who that guy on the team is who says, hey, look, this is going to get better and this is how it's going to get better. Nobody on that team knows. There's no institutional knowledge left of that team being successful.
No. But there's guys who have been successful. Claude Giroux is going to help big time.
Claude will help.
Yeah, he's going to help big time. DeBrincat can score 40 goals again with this team, you know,
on a really bad team. Like, he knows nothing of winning either.
No, he knows nothing of winning, but he could go score 40 goals for this. There's 40 goals they didn't have last year. And also Norris and Stützle and Shabbat and Tkachuk, you know, and Batherson, they're not prospects anymore. Sanderson is. They're not prospects. They're proven NHL players. They just haven't proven a ton yet, but they're proven NHL players. I don't know. I just love the direction they're going right now. I think that they need to capitalize on the enthusiasm. They need to be fun. They need to be a team that people want to go see play. You know, in Ottawa, it's not the easiest place to get building to get to, all of those things, right? They need to be the team that draws fans in, that everybody wants to go see play and people want to watch play, even if they're not necessarily ready for prime time. You know, that's what they have to be. And I think they have the makings to do that. But a team that is ready for prime time, another one I wanted to talk about in the division, is Tampa, because we were able to sit down. I talked to Victor Hedman too at the player media tour in Paris. And we're going to play an interview that I had with Victor Hedman soon. And you wonder now, Tampa, you know, to me, they're still in that. They're still in a dynasty window. Like, just because they lost in the Stanley Cup final and didn't win three in a row doesn't mean they can't be a dynasty, because they could easily go win the Stanley Cup this year. And now you got three out of four and you were in the Stanley Cup final the other year. That still makes it pretty. Do you agree?
I think they're the favorite. I think they're the favorite to win the cup. They're the same exact team.
Well, they don't have Ryan McDonough. It's a big piece.
A piece that they were willing to.
They had to.
Yeah. And they were willing to move. I think they feel like, having done it numerous times, they can fill it in some way. And they have one of the best defensemen in the league in Hedman. He can fill it partially all by himself.
Yeah.
Like, just put more on him. So But they didn't go through the overhaul that they have each of the last 3 years. They didn't lose their bottom six. They don't have to remake their bottom six. They don't have to fill multiple holes because guys went and got paid. And so, you know, you have, and like Victor Hedman's going to say in this interview, like you have guys that are angry because they didn't have dates with the big silver trophy this year. They didn't have plans. They didn't get to share it with their families after 9 months of trying and having that carrot at the end. And then you have guys like Bellemare and other guys, McPaul, you know, whoever you want to throw in there, who are like, geez, man, I came here to do this. And it was right before me. And we didn't get it done. And they're going to come back hungrier. And the guys that have won it know how special it is and are going to feed off of trying to give that experience to whoever the new players are in the lineup. And they weren't that far away against Colorado. And I think they lost less than Colorado. So if you just look at it that way, and they have the best playoff goalie in the world.
Yeah.
In Vasilevskiy. So how can they not be the betting favorite? Like, I don't even feel like I'm making a controversial statement. Like, they're the best team right now.
It's not a controversial statement. I mean, I think the loss of Ryan McDonagh, that's a big loss. It's an impactful loss because of everything he was able to do for them. Penalty killing, defensive zone starts, playing, you know, like just, he was so strong and stout. And Nashville's way better because they have him, right? I mean, he's that type of player for them. But you had to sacrifice it. You had to go there because of cap situations. But now they get a full season out of Nick Paul. They get a full season out of Brandon Hagel. Mikhail Sergachev is ready now to take an elevated role. Right. I mean, he signed a big deal. He's going to get that elevator role. He'll take a lot of that McDonagh ice time. He's not a bottom pair defenseman. Okay. And he was there because on the left side, they had Hedman McDonagh in front of him, but now they don't. They just have Hedman. So Sergachev takes a big role. Eric Chernak is a really strong player. They were able to sign a guy like Ian Cole, who kind of fits that mold of playing hard minutes. Right. I mean, he's big and he's won and all that stuff. Cal Foote's going to be a better player. And like you said, I mean, they have Vasilevskiy. So yeah, no, you're not making a controversial statement at all. But as Hedman mentions in this interview we're about to play, the division is better. It's not going to be the same. The division is better. It's deeper. Those games that you looked at and said, Buffalo, Ottawa, Detroit, Montreal, you're not saying that about Buffalo, Ottawa, and Detroit, and Montreal, that these are wins right now. You're 2 points each time you play them, right? Probably still saying it about Montreal, or at least thinking it, but that will make it a little bit more challenging in the regular season. But Tampa's a playoff team, and they're probably the favorite right now to go do it again.
Yeah, you can put them in anywhere. Like, they're not a team that needs home ice. They're not a team that needs a top seed. They're not a team that needs an easy road to the final. Like, put them in and draw them against the three best teams in the East. They're okay.
They're fine. Yeah, they're fine.
Like, you're not looking as Tampa Bay, where you might be looking at another team where you're like, oh, we got an easy path through the first two rounds. Like, and we can jump at it and we can make hay here. Like, you could literally put Tampa Bay against Toronto. I don't even know who else you're going to put at the top of that division. Florida, right? Like, think about the road they went through last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing phases this team. And it shouldn't, because they're proven winners. They have the best players at key positions, right? And they have a system, and they have a coach who gets absolutely no credit for what he's done. And they're winners. So, yeah, I'm not concerned about him at all. And I haven't made my predictions and I don't know what they would be, but Tampa Bay is not far from, to me, being the favorite to win everything.
Well, let's hear directly from one of their players, Victor Hedman. Like I said, talked to him in Paris at the European Player Media Tour. Here's that interview with the Lightning defenseman.
All right, Victor, thanks for jumping on with us. So let's talk about your summer, and it's different, obviously, from the previous two. Summer without Stanley now, and you were close again. You were close, but you didn't get it after getting it for 2 years, winning the Stanley Cup. So what has that felt like now, as you've, like, how has it become, how's it been for you getting over it instead of, you know, enjoying it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the biggest difference, and pretty much the only difference, you know, the same amount of break, you know, you get,
yeah.
You know, it's a short summer anyways, and we come up short from the ultimate goal once again, or this time around. So, but I think you got to look back at it as well. We played against a great team, phenomenal team that's, you know, been knocking on the door. They haven't made it to the final before, but they've always been, you know, probably one of the favorites going into the season for the past four years with the team that they have. And, you know, they lost two games going into the finals, and, you know, they beat us in six, and, you know, it was two overtime wins, mm-hmm. Couple of blowouts each way, and, you know, it was a close series, and we didn't get it over the finish line, obviously, but I'm so proud of, you know, the way we've been able to bounce back. You know, people probably counted us out against Toronto in the first round after losing game one. Definitely counted us out after losing the first two against the Rangers. So the way we were able to bounce back showed what this group is made of. Obviously, we came up short, but, you know, you look back and what we've accomplished the last 3 years is something that I'm very proud of, and I think every single one on our team is, and in the organization as well. But when you're that close to winning three in a row, it certainly stinks.
And it would seem to me that you guys are still in that window to create a dynasty, because it doesn't have to be three in a row. It could be three out of four or four out of five or whatever it may be. But as you now think ahead here with training camp right around the corner, does losing serve as motivation as you would expect it to, or is it just you're entering another season and the past is the past?
Well, I think in the past we've been pretty good at putting you know, the wins behind us,
mm-hmm.
and I think we got to do the same way with, you know, losing. You can learn from it when you win, you can learn from it when you lose, but I think the biggest key is that, you know, we don't have the same team going into this season. We have the core, or part of the core, still intact. Mm-hmm. You know, losing, you know, Palat and McDonough and Roots is it's not easy, but, you know, you're bringing guys who've been in the, you know, won before in Ian Cole, and you're bringing guys that, you know, Philip Meyer from Nashville. We have, you know, Hayden Fleury from Seattle, Vladdy, who's been there before. So we brought in guys who's, you know, either been with us before or, you know, are new to the team. So, you know, we can't dwell on last year. We got to focus on what's ahead. And, one thing for certain is that you can't change the past,
yeah.
And you know, we can learn from it. But I think guys are excited to get back at it.
What do you think you learn from it, from losing? Because you can, like you said, you can learn from losing. You can learn from winning. What can you take away from being close and not getting there, as opposed to not just being close but getting there? You know.
No, I think you know, for us, you look at the game. So obviously, game one. Overtime loss, you know, you want to get that back, obviously, and, you know, felt like we had a good chance to win in that game early on. And if you steal game one, or if you win game one, it's a totally different series. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we got blown out in game two, and then we came home and, you know, we blew out them in game three, and then we lose again in overtime in game four. And you know, it's just small details and small parts of the game that, you know, you wish you could have back. And, you know, that's where you learn from. And, you know, maybe you, in that situation next time, maybe you make a different decision in those certain plays and stuff like that. But, you know, like I said, the feeling of losing is almost worse than the enjoyment of winning, yeah. The Stanley Cup. So, but... you know, I've been on the losing side twice. I've been on the winning side twice. So, you know, winning is obviously what you prefer. But, you know, very proud of the group, the way we've battled the last 3 years.
Yeah, I've heard that the losing is harder to deal with than the, you know, it's harder than the fun is from winning,
yeah.
Sometimes. And it does create that hunger.
Yeah,
that's different that you've had the coming back the last year, you know, yeah. The last 2 years, that, and I wonder, do you expect to feel that? Do you already feel that? You know, do you expect to feel that when you get back there and you're into camp and you like look around a room and be like, yeah, we're not the champs anymore. You know, yeah. Like, you know, we got to get that back. You know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we don't, I remember I was on the ice when the final hole went and, you know, Carras celebrating and, you know, that's something that you don't want to see again, but, you want to be in that situation again. You mm-hmm. want to be in the final again, but, you know, it takes a lot and, you know, it's 82 games and then there's four rounds and, you know, it's a tough league to win in. And, you know, you look around the league and you look around, yes, in our division, you know, teams are gearing up. Mm-hmm. Ottawa's getting better. Detroit is getting better. We know what Florida, Boston and Toronto are going to bring. But, you know, Ottawa and especially Ottawa, I think, with Drew and DeBrincat, you know, they're getting better. So, you know, our division is not getting any easier. So, you know, I think that's motivation too, is that, you know, it's not going to be, it's never an easy game in the NHL, but our division is right. getting harder as well.
But like you said, there's no Palat. Palat's out and McDonough's out, but you have new guys that, yeah. that have come in, guys that you haven't won with, that have never won. What do you think of the team right now as you look at it and you prepare for to get back to Tampa for training camp? What do you think of your team as you look at it right now?
No, it looks great. We have the best goaltender in the world, who's always going to give us a chance. And like I said, with the new guys coming in, obviously, you know, losing, you know, just the way Mac plays the game, you know, the way he blocks shots, the way he plays against other teams' top lines, we're going to miss that for sure. But it's about guys taking the next step. Sergei's going to take the next step. He's going to get more opportunity, even more opportunity. I mean, he plays a lot still, but, you know, he's going to take another step. You know, Ian Cole is one of those guys who plays the game hard. You know, you look on the right side, you know, with Chernak, you know, he's a tremendous player. You know, Bogo's hurt to start the season. So guys are going to get an opportunity. So I think that's going to be a big key for us, is that guys, you know, are going to get an opportunity to play bigger roles. And, you know, it's up to them to take that chance and show the coaching staff that they're ready for it. So I think it's going to be good for us to get a little bit more. Or there's going to be competition for spots. That's mm-hmm. the bottom line, and the same up front. But I love the team that we have, and I know the personnel is on our team. And, you know, we, when it's not going our way, we take that personal, and we try to get better, and that's the bottom line.
There was obviously there's the leadership from yourself and a guy like Stamkos too. And there was a scene in that All-Access show where you were at his house. I watched it, and I couldn't believe it. Like, you're at his house. You guys were playing a little golf on his green there, and it's like you guys talked about your friendship and how it's developed over the years. That doesn't happen very often, that you can have a guy on your team for as long as you guys have been together and become close. What does he mean to you in your career, and why does that chemistry, why does that friendship work for you guys?
I think it works because we're a little bit different. But I think just being together for so long, we kind of, you know, we know where we have one another, both on the rink and outside the rink. And, you know, I think we could both have great values, and, you know, we can have our arguments. And, you know, I think that's what we said too, is that, you know, we probably spend more time with each other than we have with our families. And, you know, we've kind of built that relationship, and, you know, didn't come right away. Kind of, you know, molded and become more and more as it went on. But, you know, we're no egos either. You know, we're open for criticism. We're open for advice still. And I think that says a lot about our team as a whole, is that there's no egos on our team. There's I mean, we're a team, and you need a team to go far and to go deep. And that's what I think our whole team is about. And, I mean, it starts with me and Steimer, who's been there the longest. It's about us, you know, setting examples and, you know, making everyone feel comfortable in that room. Mm-hmm. And that's been a big key for us, is that, you know, doesn't matter if you're, you know, Steven Stamkos or Victor Hedman, or if you're a rookie or if you're a new guy coming in, you know, we're like an open book. We're open for anything. So, but our friendship has grown and keeps growing, and now we're both dads, and you know, obviously don't spend that much time off the ice anymore, but like we did in the past, but we always know we have each other, and that's that means a lot.
I read up that you have bought a stake in a pro soccer team with Palat. Yeah, football team. Football team. We'll say the right word. Yeah. Football with Andre Palat. Explain. Like, you're an investor now?
Yeah. I mean, now we're shareholders in a League One team who's the third league in England, Plymouth Argyle, one of the oldest teams in British football. And, you know, it's a dream come true for me. I'm a big, big football guy, and, you know, I pay more attention when I'm not at a rink or playing hockey. I probably pay more attention to football than anything else. So, no, it's a dream come true for me, and, you know, a project that I really believe in, and something that I'll be probably more involved in the day I retire. Yeah. But for now, it's just, you know, a team that I'm going to follow very, very closely and be as involved as I can. But, you know, in order to share, you know, 20% in our group, and, you know, it's a great football club, well-run football club that hasn't really, you know, there's no changes needed. You know, just capital from us to, you know, invest in the academy and training facility and stuff like that, and try to be as successful as we can with them, and hopefully earn promotion to the championship in the future.
And by the way, that's like the first step to owning Man U, right? The last thing we're doing is we're doing poll questions with each player. Yeah. And there are five pretty rapid fire ones. So you can't pick your own. Which team other than yours will win the Stanley Cup?
Colorado.
All right. Who's the most underappreciated player in the NHL and why?
I got this question before too, but I think not as players, but if you look at fans and the outside, Alexander Barkov.
Barkov, okay.
Yeah.
Who you taking first? If you have a fantasy hockey team, who you taking first?
Connor McDavid.
Preseason pick for MVP this season and why?
Nikita Kucherov. He's going to stay healthy. He's going to be on fire.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. Good stuff there from Hedman, Sean. Let's stay in this division and do something that we are now doing on NHL.com. It's called State Your Case, right? And the exercise, the latest one is up on .com. Will Austin Matthews score 60 goals again this season? Can he do it? You participated in this one with Adam Kimmelman, who is co-host of the NHL Draft Class podcast, by the way. And this is a fun exercise. Adam Kimmelman says, yes, Austin Matthews will score 60 goals again this season. Your answer, Sean, the floor is yours.
I'm an enemy of the state in Canada, and I have to go back next week. Going to Newfoundland for Hockeyville, which is going to be amazing. But I'm probably going to get stopped at the border in Toronto because of my case. I've stated my case, and I say no. And I say no for a number of reasons, but the basic one is the weight of history. It doesn't happen. The best players in the world, not named Gretzky, Lemieux, don't do it. Couldn't do it. Right? Hall did it. Bure did it. There's some other guys that have done it or come close. 60, it's hard, right? Like, Ovi's never done it. Think about all the goals Ovi scored. He's never done it. It's really, you got to be healthy. You got to score 3 out of every 4 games. You know, your shot volume has to be unbelievable. When he did it last year, when Austin Matthews did it last year, he did it at like 17-point-something%, which was above his average for his career. So it's just a really hard thing to do, and it's not a reflection on the player.
No, it's not a reflection on the player. And by the way, Alex, your point, Alex Ovechkin hasn't done it twice. He did it once, scored 65 in 2007-08, yeah. But he's never done it again. I agree with you. So I'm going to state my case. My case is your case, but it's another, I'll add a layer to why. The history part makes perfect sense. Like, this is really hard to do. Okay. Like, this is really, you have to have an, like, he scored 60 goals in 73 games last year. He's going to miss some time. If he plays in all 82 games, I still don't think he gets 60 goals. The division is harder now. And that's what we just talked about, right? We just talked about it with Ottawa being better. I mentioned Detroit's better. Buffalo's going to be better. Tampa's still really good. I think Florida's better. They won the President's Trophy. I think they're a better team with Matthew Tkachuk. Matthew Tkachuk is going to make Austin Matthews' life miserable when the Panthers play them, right?
That didn't happen. He didn't, nobody made his life miserable when they played the Panthers last year. Matthew Tkachuk is going to do that, right? He's going to score 50. He could score in the 50s, but we're talking about another 60 goal season in a division that's going to be better than it was last year. And he just got to 60 last year. No, he is not scoring 60 again. He's a terrific goal scorer. He might now be, even with Alex Ovechkin in the league, the best goal scorer in the National Hockey League. But that does not mean you're going to do this again. He was the first player to do it in a decade. And we're saying he's going to do it back-to-back seasons? Not making that bet. Not in a tougher division. So I agree with you, Sean. Stated my case, they won't let me in either. But Auston Matthews is not scoring 60 again.
Yeah, and I mean, you just look at the guys that did it. Like I said, Ovi did it. Steven Stamkos did it. He's never even come close, right? And you think about it, it was injuries. It was lockout. I mean, it was shortened seasons, you know, whatever it is. And Hall did it, and he did 3 years. And then he never scored more than 45 again. Like, it's a really small window. People figure you out, and you need to figure them out, right? And you kind of look, again, to me, it's Ovechkin. Like, he's been consistent, but he goes up and down a little bit, and he changed his game a little bit, but not a ton. Like, he just relies on that office, and he's going to do his work on the power play. Like, Auston Matthews is going to have to continue to refine his game, and I think it's going to take a little bit of time. It's going to be a chess match. As defenses figure him out, he's going to have to do different things. He has the skills to do it. Do I think he'll score 60 again in his career? Yes, I do. I don't think he'll do it this year.
Yeah, I mean, this is the guy who has scored 101 goals in 125 games the past 2 years, but that's a really hard rate to continue at. So we both say no. State your case. Keep looking for that on NHL.com, and we'll keep doing them here on the podcast as we get rolling, as the season gets rolling. And, Sean, it's getting rolling here because we've got – I talked about the European Player Media Tour, which was at the end of last month, and you heard those interviews with Jacob Markstrom and Victor Hedman. We've got the North American Player Media Tour that the two of us are going to next week. That's in Las Vegas. We'll have a lot of interviews coming out of that with some top players in the league, star players in the league that will be there. Then rookie camps will be opening at the same time. And Sean, before we know it, training camps will open September 21st. I think teams are on the ice for the first time, the 22nd. And if I'm correct, preseason games start the 24th. So here we go.
My birthday.
There you go.
What a birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. But yeah, who picked Vegas, by the way? What idiot did that? Who wants to go to Vegas?
Yeah, well, that's true.
Me.
By the way, I am a firm believer. I'll say it here that the National Hockey League, and I hope Steve Mayer is listening, the National Hockey League needs to be doing events in Las Vegas and Nashville every year, or at least one event in each market every year.
Well, that's this year, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and yeah, no, Vegas is going to be
draft,
awesome.
It's and awards.
It's always great to go to Vegas. So much to do. I'm staying a little extra, Dan, this year.
I know you are.
Big party after you guys leave. Metal Blade's 40th anniversary with Sacred Reich playing as the headliners. It's going to be awesome.
Yep. And I think that's a good place to wrap right there because nobody knows what you're talking about. Well, if they do know what you're talking about, they'll be with you there.
They know.
But I'm sure we have listeners that know what you're talking about. I particularly don't know exactly what you're talking about with that, but I hope you have a great time. Vegas is going to be fun, but there's going to be a lot of stuff coming out of Vegas next week at the National Hockey League's North American Player Media Tour. Then we'll get right into it. So we won't be back next week, but we will be back the week after that to kick off the training camps and the preseason, and away we go. So everybody, get ready because the hockey's coming.